Today, we're going to do revival of our spirit. And it kind of seems like, well, revival of the heart and revival of the spirit, aren't they the same? But there's a really difference in them that I want to show you. And it's interesting when you talk about, because we're body, mind, and spirit, right? That's who we are. That's how we were created. And the spirit of a person is interesting to look at. It deals with the inner makeup of the person. Okay? How they think and function on the inside comes out as action and speech and reaction, all that kind of stuff on the outside. And so what we feed our spirit will, and we talked about this a little bit about the heart too, but what we feed our spirit will eventually come out. It really will. You can't hide it. You can't think it's not going to affect you. We need to take inventory of what is inside of us. So are you fighting feelings of maybe insecurity or inferiority? That'll come out. Do you feed your spirit with good things or bad things? Whatever you feed yourself, it's going to come out. What are you telling yourself on a regular basis? Are you your best cheerleader? Or do you rely on other people to encourage you and you just speak negative to yourself all the time? So it will come out, right? We have to learn to feed our spirit with good things and to spend time with God. Whomever or whatever you spend the most time with, that is whom or what you will become. Okay? So we need to take inventory of who you hang around and what you involve yourself with, because this is what you will become. Did you know that? Think of this past week. Who have you hung around? What have you been doing? Is that something you do on a regular basis? How do you feel? Do you see good or bad? Is it positive in your life, what you've done this week, or negative? Are you chasing a skinny rabbit that's never going to get, not even worth your time? You know, these are just thoughts to be thinking about, but we need to take inventory. We need to look and see who we're hanging around and what we're doing. I tell you what, I don't want to waste time. You know, I want to spend my time. Everything that I do, I want it to be for a purpose. You know, spending time with my family, or if I'm going to watch TV, you know, be careful what you're watching. Now, so if we take this idea and we apply it to revival, we have to remember that dwelling with Christ brings intimacy and power. That's who we need to hang around with, right? It brings satisfaction and contentment. And intimacy with Christ brings boldness and life to us. I tell you what, like just being in the presence of the Lord today and worshiping, you are going to walk out of here feel lighter. You just will. I mean, if you participated, if you were not a spectator, but you actually participated in some of the worship, you will walk out of here feeling better, because we took our focus off ourselves, didn't we? And we put it on to Jesus. Romans 8:11 says that, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So we got to realize the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's pretty powerful, right? But that's that dwells in us, okay? If you've accepted Jesus in your heart as your Lord, you know, you say, Lord, I'm just sorry, come into my life, be Lord of my life, then instantaneously his spirit is there too. Do you know that? And so that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that said, I'm not going to listen to death, that said, I have a plan, that said, I am doing this, and I know he's raised from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God, you know, interceding for on our behalf, right? Dwells in us. That's pretty cool. And it, when you think about it, it brings a whole new look at intimacy with God. And I will do everything possible to have and keep a close relationship with God. Because I look at my relationship, that's what we are. We're in a relationship with God. It's not a religion, right? It's not a drudgery. Think of someone that you love in your life and you just love that relationship. Well, that's the way it should be with God. We can talk to him just like I'm talking to you. Not out of disrespect, but out of just this closeness and this intimacy that we can develop. So what he has dwells in me, dwells in you, right? And we need to protect this relationship. And there's things that will fight that relationship every day, every day, every day. And things that can get into our spirit that maybe make us be complacent, be callous, be cold, be hard, be indifferent. These are the things that make us go, we need to revive in our spirit, right? Okay. I mean, not unless you are just like this, you know, wonder man or woman that can just handle things in your life. Things in life affect us, no matter what. Positive or negative. So our thinking can produce life or death. And I like to write in a journal. And I was writing in my journal the other day. And this is what I wrote. I said, I sense a revival in my spirit, a turning from thinking dead thoughts to thoughts that produce life. Breathe new life into every area of me, Lord. Create and resurrect new thinking in my spirit. I throw away all the old thinking that only brought death. And I decree new life. I say it out of my mouth, Lord. I just speak new life. I'm not going to say negative things to myself anymore. And it's an everyday process, I tell you, because sometimes I can get bogged down. We can get bogged down by the negative things that we say to ourselves. Okay? And oftentimes that's the enemy just whispering in your ear. And then you start thinking, well, yeah. But reality is, that's not God's plan. And also I wrote in there, you are my resurrection power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Now, that's not making me go. The direction that it makes me go is to say, I can be bold in Christ. I can be strong. And in my weakness, he is strong. And we have to, every day, keep that relationship with Jesus in check, you know? It's just like every day we want to nurture it. Every day we want to love on him. Every day we should be talking to Jesus. Every day we should be worshiping him. Even in, you know, put on some worship music. Think about him. At least think about him, right? And think about how good he is. So we can bring death or life by thinking thoughts that produce death or life. Our actions can bring death not only to us, but to our friends and family, church body, co-workers, and more. Let me give you some examples, okay? And I just want to give you these examples just to help you to see how maybe what we do or our actions might not necessarily be a positive thing. So we can perceive something was said by someone or something was done by someone and believe it to be truth. We can perceive it. But we might not have heard it. We don't really even know for sure. We haven't talked to him. And maybe in a distance we saw something happen, or we heard through the gossip, the rumor mill, something happened, right? And then the person so we go out. We don't go to that person, to the source. No, what do? We go to someone else. Did you hear? Did you know? This is what happened. And then that person we gossip to tells someone else. And in turn, they tell someone else. And it can go around a church. It can go around an employment. It can go around like wildfire. And someone's reputation is just ruined by what someone perceived. Okay? This blocks the Holy Spirit if you're in the church. It blocks the Holy Spirit from moving in our hearts. And this blocks even any leader from ministering to people within the church if the church is believing a lie about them. I've seen many churches and division happen and the lack of revival happen because of gossip going around about the leader, and then come to find out wasn't true. And so then it just totally destroyed. Now, Psalm says that there's six things the Lord hates, seven is an abomination. And you know what that seven one is? Is division amongst the brethren. I tell you what, I don't want the Lord to hate me, or to hate what I'm doing. Let's put it that way. He would never hate me. So let's be careful what we do and what we say. We need God to revive our spirit so we don't look through the tainted glasses of gossip or misunderstanding. Always go to the source and find out if the information that was said is true. And better yet, don't even believe for a minute the gossip in the first place. Because gossip will prevent revival. God's a sovereign God, and he wants to move on his people. But if you have a people that's constantly being critical, constantly backbiting each other, there's no love in that, is that? Okay? And so if you're longing for a revival, just take a little inventory, not only about who you're hanging around with and what you're doing, but take inventory, what you're doing, and that your actions or what we say can really prevent God to move in our life. Maybe we think, oh, God, where is God? I pray and I don't hear him. Well, it could very well be what you're saying and what you're doing causes a distance, because you know that gossip is sin. And that's just, I'm using gossip as an example because we think it's not a big deal. I can be critical. I can judge somebody. You know, I can look and go, okay, yeah, Pastor Jenny, she's wearing that shirt and I don't like that shirt. So, you know, and because of that, her worship's yuck.
We didn't want to say anything.
See? Your shirt's fine. It's lovely. But.
Wow, everybody's just going to.
Maybe I shouldn't use it as an example. So, but sin is sin. Could be gossip. Could be robbing, you know, killing someone. Could be taking the Lord's name in vain. Could be, you know, having another God before him. But sin is sin. So I'm just using gossip as an example. And sin separates us from God. So if you're here this morning and you feel like God is just far away, just look at yourself. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying, I always take inventory of myself. You know, where am I at? Was there anything I could do differently? So that's what you need to look at. We need people to be a people who are quick to repent and to make things right with those we hurt. And, you know, gossip, just speaking about gossip, we can't go around causing hurts and cuts in other people's lives and not expect any consequences to happen in our own life. I'm just telling you that. Judge not, lest you be judged. And we're going to look at that right here. Matthew 7. Did the TV turn on?
Yeah.
Take too long in between my points, right? Okay, it's coming on, I think. Because we have to remember that how we judge will be judged back to us. So Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And I like how the Amplified Bible states it. It says, "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged, criticized, and condemned yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others. It will be dealt out to you." Now, if you've been to Hope Fellowship for a while, you've noticed I've used this verse many times in my messages, haven't you? I mean, I have. Because we don't realize how dangerous it is to judge people. You know, even if you see them in the middle of sin and they're laying in bed with another woman and that's not their wife, that's God's place, right? Okay, really. We should not throw a stone. I'm telling you what, because I look at my own self and I think of the things that I've done or thought. You know, scripture says if you even lust after a woman, if you're a man, if you even lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's the New Testament saying that. All right? So I'm just saying, be careful what you think, be careful what you say, because it really does take an effect. Think about what you have been talking to others about lately. Has it been edifying to your spirit and to those that are listening? What have you been watching on television and movies? What have you been listening to on the radio? And again, I said this last week, but I will do anything to protect my relationship with God. And so if I'm looking at something that's, you know what? You know when you're watching a movie and it's not edifying. You know it. You just got this. You can call it your conscience, but I call it the Holy Spirit pricking your heart. Mm-hmm. And he's convicting, not condemning. He's convicting and he's saying, you know what? You need to turn the channel or you need to stop doing that. I've walked out of movies before, have you? Mm-hmm. You know, you pay the money, but yet I'm like going, I'm watching this going, no. This, and it just kind of just grates on my spirit. So It's okay. It's okay. I've actually walked out of a drama production, and you know I love drama. I was the worship pastor, fine arts director at many churches, and so I put productions together. But I've actually walked out of a secular drama production because of what they were doing on the stage. I'm like, and I paid good money. I'm like, no. I'm not going to condone it, and I'm not going to let myself see it, you know? So, all right. If you are longing to be revived but keep feeding your spirit with these things that don't edify you, it will eventually dry up your spirit, and you will become indifferent to the things of God. Do you know that? I'm an adult. I'm mature. I've been a Christian for a long time. I can handle it, Pastor Chris. Okay, pride goes before a okay, I'm just saying, you know, these aren't my words, these are God's words. So we just need to be careful. Even the elect will fall. That's what the New Testament says about the last days. And I take that word elect as those that are leaders, even those that are on fire for God, those that are chosen, right? Which is all of us if we know Jesus in our heart. Allow God to revive your spirit, and your love for Him will grow more and more. So, revival of our spirit will affect all areas of our life. It will. It's easy to get caught up in the mundane of life. We lose our first love of God, and we start going through the motions instead of living life abundantly. And that's John 10:10. Of living life abundantly, especially if you have been a Christian for many years. Remember, this can be a trap of the enemy to prevent you from becoming all God created you to be, is just being tripped up by something that comes into your spirit, into your heart, maybe something you're constantly watching or hearing or participating in, okay? So don't settle for less than what God's word promises. Get a promise book out and read the topics that concern you. And allow God's word to penetrate your spirit and sink in until you start believing it. Get his word in your heart so we don't sin against him, right? Okay. When you see a person who is dying and people are trying to resuscitate them, their body is lifeless. But when that person is resuscitated, they start to move, right? They start to talk. They start to possibly get up and walk. And this is what happens with our spirit. God is trying to resuscitate us. It's the paddles, which is always an outside energy source, which is Him, right? Sometimes He just needs to zap us. Sometimes we experience revival through a hard time in our life. Sometimes we come to the end of ourselves and we go, wait a minute, what am I doing? I need to get back with God, right? I encourage you, don't let that be you, to come to the end of whatever you're doing, and you're just left with all of these bad choices and the circumstances of it, and then you go, how did I get here? Don't let that be you. Now is the day to be able to change that, right? And to be able to make good choices. So, but when that person is resuscitated, they start to move. And this is what happens in our spirit. God is trying to resuscitate us. He knows what we need to come alive again. Don't settle for or feel bad about the woulda, shoulda, coulda, couldas. You know, I should have written that book, and so you're just feeling regret. Or I could have made something of my life, but I became discouraged, or I just got lazy. I should have married that person I fell in love with. I could have shown more love to my family and children. I should have applied for that job I always wanted. I could have started my own business, but I was too afraid. You don't get tangled in that, okay? Become alive and live your life. You are the only person who can enjoy your life. I can't enjoy your life. You are the only person that can do that. So what are you going to do about that? Stop blaming circumstances. Stop blaming people for your lack. Allow your spirit to be revived and watch how your entire life will change. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young. God created you. And therefore, you have a purpose on this earth. And so plan to fulfill it, right? If you have a choice, like let's say, you know, there was a $100 bill on the ground right there. I'm just thinking this out and out just for a second. But if there's a $100 bill on the ground, I don't want anything in my way to go get it, right? And someone said, that's yours. It's mine. Well, then I'm going to go get it. But what if all of these things that I put in my way, you know, the garbage can and everything else, to not get it, and then someone else picks it up? Not that God would do that. Our purpose in life is our purpose. But I'm just saying we would pursue that hard. Especially if we're lacking in funds. All right. Well, God has promised us eternal life. God has promised us an abundant life. God has promised us we have a destiny, right? I believe every one of us has a promised land. So what are you doing to fulfill it or to find out what that is? Have you ever asked God, Lord, what's my purpose here? Or are you just kind of going through the motions of life? You know? Find out what your purpose is. And then when you know that you know what your purpose is, then pursue it. And ask God every step of the way to show you how to go and what to do. But all of that could be throttled, it could be for naught, if we pursue our own fleshly desires, if we pursue things that are not godly, if we're watching things that are not godly, if we're being a part of things that are not... I don't want to throw it away. Do you? No. I am determined to do and be who God created me to be. And I want to be free. You know, we get so many things that are pushed on us. And people might have expectations. We might have expectations of ourselves. Just let it all go. And just pursue God and be free to be yourself. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. That could preach its own thing right there, I'm just saying. So, okay. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So right there is a spirit in man. And the word spirit in this verse means wind, breath, life, anger, air, blast, courage. I love that word, courage. Mind, to blow, breathe, to smell, touch, make of quick understanding. That word spirit. And so often our spirit has a lack of courage. Because, you know, just to think, well, how does courage have to do with our spirit? It has everything to do with our spirit. If you don't have courage, do you think you're going to go and do something? If you don't have courage to get up in the middle in the day to say, you know, to walk out of maybe being down or depressed. If you go, you know what, Lord, I hang on to you. And when Joshua went to go get the promised land, God said, be strong and courageous. There's giants in the land. He knew it. But be strong and courageous. And I said it last week, but does land come to you? Does land, you know, pick up and come to you? Here you go.
There you go.
No! That's why God gave us feet. We have to walk, right? We have to take action. So, but oftentimes our spirit has a lack of courage and is fearful to deal with things that are troubling us. We might not even see areas in us that need change. You know, it's kind of like the elephant in the living room syndrome. Everyone else sees things in our life, but we just have no clue. Or else we're in denial, right? Everyone else sees it. Either we are choosing to ignore it or we are in denial. And I tell you what, I think there'll come a point in your life where all of a sudden you'll see it, and then you'll have a choice to go, what am I going to do with this elephant in the living room? We can look at other people and we can say, oh yeah, they need to change this about them. They always react this way, right? Or they always take things wrong this way. Or they always start something but they never finish it. Okay, that could be an elephant in the living room, right? I can see it, but they might not see it. So I want to look at, here we go, right? And we're going to look at the elephant in the living room, and we're going to look at elements to courage. And this is what I'm talking about. Reviving our spirit. Let's get the courage in us to do what God's called us to do. Now, I took my daughters to school. This was many years ago. And they were both in elementary school, so now they're both in high school. So you know it's been many years ago. And it was a Monday. And Monday is the hardest day of the week after having 2 days off for the weekend. And my daughters, they always love to be with us. Now, my oldest one loves school more than the youngest, and that's all right. But this particular day, they both were dreading school. And I remember yelling out, "Be strong and courageous, you know, you can do it." And then I drove away, and those words were just penetrating me. And I was thinking of, all of a sudden I saw all these things that I wasn't strong and courageous in, and I was trying to run away from. Okay. Some of it's even about my own personal makeup. And so as I drove away, I couldn't get that out of my spirit. And there's things in my life that day I was looking at that I had avoided for years. And I didn't want to look at. And if someone told it about me, I'm like, talk to the hand, right? I don't want to talk about it. Or else I get mad at them. Oh, yeah, that's your opinion. Right? Okay. But the Lord was this. It's like, okay, enough is enough, Chris. This was my day for me to look at some things. And I knew that God had promised me a promised land, and yet I wasn't obtaining it. And I'm like, what is going on? So being courageous is not an easy thing to do, especially when it has been marks of your character, my character, to run and bolt under pressure. And the word courageous, let's just look at that for a second. It means possessing or displaying courage, able to face and deal with danger or fear without flinching.